Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're back with another episode of Boots, Balls and Bras with myself, Farrah Williams, and Nancy Baker. How are we? Busy
I'm
weekend.
Good. Very, very busy weekend. Yeah, lots of football throughout the weekend, the week as well. So, yeah.
Seen on your socials. Girl's been busy out there doing bits.
I'm trying. Trying to be like you.
Not like me. I'm not busy. I'm just here. I'm just here on my podcast. But yeah, it was a busy weekend of WSL football. Lots of changes in the table, in the standings. Obviously, we went into the weekend with Chelsea sitting top of the league on goal difference. But they obviously had a Champions League fixture away at Barcelona with a magnificent result, by the way.
Yes.
Bringing a 1-0 victory back home to Stamford Bridge next weekend. But I was at the Man City game, and that was probably the standout game of the weekend. Man City knew if they won, they would go back to the top of the league, 3 points clear of Chelsea, and put the pressure back on Chelsea. And they won 5-0 against West Ham. And I mean, I don't know if you watched the game. I was there at the game. They scored within 40 seconds of kickoff.
That's wild. Do you know what? To concede that early and for Man City to score that early, it's like head loss literally within 40 seconds. It's like,
I mean, I just sat in my chair.
What do you do? Like, yeah. City, you're buzzing.
Mm, of course.
City, you're buzzing. But West Ham, that's like, whoa.
It's crazy, right?
And then literally, like, what, two minutes later?
Yeah, Bonnie Shaw.
But the opening
goal come in within 40 seconds, and it was Wahabi. She got her first goal for Manchester City. I don't know if you saw the celebration.
And did you see Jess?
Ava's shirt. Obviously, we heard recently that she done her ACL.
That's really sweet. I love that City do that. So, they do that a lot. Yeah. In
so
terms
it was a nice celebration. Really
Jess
nice
Park
celebration.
Also tripped over the... Jess Park done the assist.
Too. Yeah.
And she tripped over the advertisement board, like, on the...
I didn't see that.
Off the goal line. I'll show you the grip.
Yeah, you'll have to show me. We'll have to get a clip of that. But yeah, they opened it up. And the thing is, before we talk about the actual game... This was an important game for both teams. Manchester City knew going into this game, if they win, they go top of the table and they put more pressure on Chelsea. But West Ham also knew if they was to win this game, they guaranteed WSL football again next season. Mm. So there was a bit in it for both of them. Yeah. I was expecting a more competitive game, I must say.
I am surprised.
But for me, West Ham were poor. They were poor. I don't even know how, have any other words to describe that first half performance. I thought they were poor.
Wow. With you covering that game, what was it like watching them? So for you, you've just said West Ham are poor, but what was you expecting more of? I know they're missing Minnie, and she is a big loss. Minnie is a great player, but it's not just...
But they made big signings in the summer, and I looked at their team, and on paper, I mean, they've got some real good individual players within that team. And I just think, you know, going away to Man City, you have to start the game focused. You have to be switched on. Them opening minutes, you have to be switched on. But I just felt like in that first half, and certainly in them opening 20, 30 minutes of the game, West Ham didn't know whether to press. They didn't know whether to sit off. Yeah. They didn't know if to get... And they were just so disjointed in their defending. They really were. And it took... I mean, look, they scored within 42 seconds. Bonnie Shaw scores. We'll talk about Bonnie Shaw because she's broke so many records and honestly an unbelievable player. She scores minutes later and then she gets a third. And then West Ham decide, okay, let me give a little bit of a go. So they did before the half, and they had a big chance where if they score that before the half, can't remember who was it that had the chance on just inside, and a really good save by Keaton. But if they score that, different team talk at halftime.
Bit of momentum, innit?
But I just felt like, is it Asai? Sorry, it was Asai with the chance, and it was an unbelievable save from Kiara Keaton, by the way. But I think if they go in with that goal... Maybe they come out a little different in the second half. But I even felt when they went in at the half West Ham, I thought, come out and do something different. And they did. They come out in the second half and they had a little bit more of a press. Mm. They had a couple of chances, hit the woodwork from distance. I think it was two off the crossbar in the second half in that opening 10 minutes. But then I never at any moment felt like West Ham were going to get back into the game. Manchester City were in cruise control. In my head, I was thinking, God, City need to... literally put their foot on the put your foot on the gas and go and score more goals, because I actually think the league could be determined by goal difference. And they left it a bit late. They didn't score their fourth and fifth goal until the 80th minute. So they were kind of in cruise control. They slowed down the play. They changed the tempo as and when they wanted Manchester City. I thought it was a really dominant performance. But as I said, I just expected a little bit more from West Ham.
Yeah, when I did see... So I didn't watch the game, but when I saw the result after, obviously you got a notification from somewhere, and I saw 5-0, I was like, whoa. I think I was watching another game or somewhere, and notifications were coming through, and it was like, okay, so what do you think the final score is going to be? And I was like, it's not looking good.
Yeah. And I mean, it could have been more. It could have been more goals for...
Then to see the 5-0 after whatever I was doing, I was at the Arsenal game.
Yeah.
Seeing that, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, it's hard for West Ham. On the road as well, like you're playing Man City at home.
It's always difficult. Look, Man City are a fortress at home. No one goes to Manchester City. I think 13 games now unbeaten at home City in the league. So they are very good at home, we know that. But I just don't think that West Ham come with tactics that were going to either let's sit in or let's give a high press. There was kind of none of that going on. They did in patches, but that was more individual, not connected. And it was just disappointing. Look, City had 69% possession, which we know they're going to dominate possession. 18 shots on goal, 13 on target. Now, it says West Ham had 10 shots. As I said, they were from distance.
Yeah.
They had one clear-cut chance in the first half.
And only two on target.
And two on target. So it wasn't a good performance from West Ham. And it disappoints me because when I look at West Ham, as I said, individually, they've got some unbelievable players in that team. So it was disappointing. But let's talk about, what's her name, Bunny Shaw.
What a player, goals. Bunny Shaw.
The second fastest player to get 50 goals behind Vivian Miedema. And we already know how much of a great player she is. But she's the first WSL player to be involved in 10 consecutive goal involvements.
I love Bunny being in the WSL. I just love watching her play. I love her personality, the energy she brings. I just love everything about her. Like, Bunny Shaw is just the biggest. Such an advocate for Bunny Shaw.
She's a beast in the box. Like, genuinely, like, you know what was different about City in the first half, they could put balls into the box and they know they have.
She's the target player, isn't she?
I mean, her first goal, there was a couple of centre-half, West Ham played with a back five, three, whatever you want to call it. I can't remember which defender was holding her. Mate, it was like, get off me. Literally, get off of me. And she just chested it down on a half turn. You know what, though? What has impressed me most about Bunny Shaw? Obviously, we'll go back three seasons because last year she finished joint top goal scorer. She looks like she's running away with it this year. I think second closest to her is Lauren James, 8 goals behind her. Can't see Lauren James catching her up between now and the end of the season. But she was obviously in and out of the team when Ellen White was at Manchester City. Now, you can go one way or the other. And for me, she just shows the ultimate professional she is. And she went and done extra one-to-ones with Sean Gota. So he was a previous striker of Manchester City. And even the celebrations when Bunny Shaw scored, they zoomed in on Sean Gota because he's a part of the coaching team. And he's just so pleased for her. And he obviously can see the development of her and the small adjustments that he's made to her game. And she's made because she has to put in the efforts to her game. And the rewards are... back-to-back seasons, 20-plus goals.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a phenomenal record. Unbelievable.
She's wicked.
You know what? The thing is, Nancy, I don't know if you can put any more words to it. I keep getting asked about it, and I'm like, I can't find any words to describe how good she is.
She's just a joy to watch. Like, when Bunny's on job, she's just wicked. Like, even sometimes, I say it all the time, sometimes she'll have the ball at her feet, and it's like she's moving slow, but she's not. She just controls
power,
the game.
Mate.
I really, really enjoy watching her play. I love seeing her do well. And you see her off the pitch as well. You see some of the content that she's in with the other City girls. You see her personality. Mm. You see how funny she is, and she's... I love to see it. I love to see good people winning.
Yeah, she was great. I mean, and there was a great post after the game with Usain Bolt. I mean, just drop that in there.
Oh, my days. Alex Greenwood just chilling with Usain Bolt on Bunny.
And I don't know if you know Gardner, but he used to play for Bolton and he's obviously Jamaican international. So the four of them were such a cool picture that, you know, she's got people there of the same, you know, nation coming and representing and supporting. It was really nice. But there was... some bad news coming out of the City game because Bunny Shaw did go off just before the half with no contact made to her. Mm. And she went down with an injury. I don't know if it's ankle, calf, Achilles, who knows. But she went down and was walking around the pitch with a boot on. Now, they have 3 big games remaining if they are to be in this title challenge. And she is key to their title challenge because, as I said, that second half performance, they brought Chloe Kelly on, who's been out of the team for a while now, in the number 9. You know, I've wanted Chloe Kelly on the pitch. Didn't think she did anything in the second half. In an unnatural position, so I'll give her that. She played as a number 9. Mm. But Bunny being out of the team, all of a sudden, there's no crosses coming into the box from City. And that's a big strength of theirs. So how important, I mean, look, hopefully it's not as bad as it looked.
Yeah.
As I said, she was maybe in the boot when she left the pitch, but caution. How important is it, or how effective would it be if she isn't to continue for the rest of the season?
We've obviously just bigged her up. Like, I think we can tell by the way we've just bigged her up. Something we have touched on before, though, of Man City is that they have multiple goal scorers, which is something that they will, if she isn't playing, they will rely on and have to work around. But we do know that they have other people who are able to score.
But there's one key game in those three games.
I know.
Lucky, I mean, it's at home. They are unbeaten in 13 at home, but they have their three remaining games. They've got Bristol City, which we would suggest that they would take 3 points from that. They then have Arsenal at home. Now, without Bonnie Shaw, that fixture becomes, in my opinion, a little bit more difficult for them, given the fact Arsenal started to pick up a little bit of momentum towards the back end of the season. And then they've got the final game of the season away at Aston Villa. That Arsenal game, if Bonnie Shaw's not involved, difficult?
I think it gives Arsenal a lot to be like, oh. Not saying Arsenal won't give them a game anyway, but it's just a bit more, oh, we've got a little something here.
Yeah, it's crazy. But that was, as I say, 5-0 for Manchester City in the driving seat at the minute. 3 points ahead of Chelsea and there's three goal difference within that. So, Chelsea have got a bit of work to do. They do have a game in hand. But we'll talk about Chelsea because they had a midweek fixture against Aston Villa. Mate, absolute madness. Aston Villa goalkeeper.
4 minutes.
Four minutes into the game. Handballs it outside. Yeah, basically saves the shot. I think, I can't remember who was it that went to pass it in. Was it at Loopholes? Went to strike it.
Sorry, I thought you meant
and
who.
Anna Lee decides to dive for it and save it outside the box. I don't know whether she thought she might only get a yellow card, but she got sent off. What was your thought on the whole scenario of her saving the ball outside the box?
I put the game on and I think I missed like the first 2 minutes because I didn't realise it was on Sky. So I was like, why is it not on the FA player? Why is it just playing sound? So I did catch it, but I'd caught like 2-3 minutes in. The next thing I see is that, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on? I didn't even time to post. Yeah. Like, the first thing I post on my Instagram to say I was watching the game was the ref pulling out the red card. That's the moment I caught. And I was like, I don't think Anna realised she was so far out the box as well. A few people said that because when she got the red, she was like, what on earth is happening? And it was like...
It obviously changes the whole focus momentum of the game.
It does.
4 minutes in, Chelsea playing with 11 players against Villa. They were up against it, but they had to bring in their third choice goalkeeper. Yeah. I think she's only 16 or 17. I'm not sure. I might be wrong.
Yes.
Sophia Poor. And she seemed to have got injured.
Yeah, a couple
in
injuries.
The game. And I don't know if you see, I mean, when she was in the Villa goal, I don't know if you've seen Emma Hayes and Carla Ward.
Oh, I definitely saw it. I made a TikTok on it.
But did you hear the fans singing about Rachel Daly potentially going in goal? I don't know if you heard.
The fans
are singing about Rachel Daly, and I don't know whether that was because they've seen Rachel Daly in training, they've seen her going goal, or they think she's so
Rachel
versatile,
would just do a job. Yeah. If you had to choose,
what was your thoughts on that? And what if Rachel Daly was to have gone in goal?
I was gonna just say to you, like I thought the conversation was hilarious because you couldn't see what they're saying. So at one point, you see like Emma pull her snood up so she covers her mouth. You've got Carla doing like the whole like beatboxing vibe. Then you've got like them laughing, smiling, joking. But also, all I could think, I did a video on it, and I was just like, this is my unofficial version of what they're saying. Yeah. It's like, who would you put in goal? And then Emma's like,
who would you put in goal? You're still a fan.
Do you know what?
Don't say Maz or Kenza.
Absolutely not Maz. No way. Maz, I'm never putting Maz in goal.
Or like an eyelash come off.
I would not put Maz in goal. No way.
Who would you put in goal?
Probably... maybe Rachel Daly, you know?
Yeah, I think Rachel Daly would have been the cat.
Yeah, I was going to say to you, who would you choose?
Probably Daly. I was thinking, Rachel Daly or Corsi. Yeah.
I was going to say maybe Corsi as well.
Yeah, maybe one of those two. They're a bit hard, but aren't they? They wouldn't be scared of the ball coming at them.
If someone said to me, Nance, you're going in goal, I'd be like, just take me off.
And I'd be like, take me off. I wouldn't mind going in goal because now goalkeepers play with their feet, so it might have suited me a little bit. But
if people ping a goal at me in an 11-a-side goal, it's game over.
But that was a professional... I mean, we joke about that happening. Obviously, disappointing for Villa that happened. But in terms of Chelsea, professional performance, they got the 3 points they needed. And that was midweek, bearing in mind they had to travel away to Barcelona, as you mentioned. Mm. Yeah, the first leg of the Champions League. But Friday night, we had Brighton against Everton.
Yeah.
And then we've seen...
Caught some of that.
The Everton twins, is it Karen and Sarah Holmesgaard, combined for their first and then assisting
That's big vibes, isn't it?
That's cool, right?
Yeah, a little link up with your twin scoring goals. Yeah,
is that what you think?
Yeah, it's just nice, isn't it? That's like they'll never forget that. As the great Ella Toon say.
What did you make of that game? Because obviously Brighton still ahead of Everton on goal difference.
I thought it was going to be a draw. That's what I backed. I backed
for long periods. I thought
I backed
a draw. I mean,
Maisie Simons' free kick she took where it hit off the bar, and then who was it that got the goal for them?
Pinto.
Yeah, Brighton. Pinto. So, yeah. So that was like when that happened in that moment. Obviously, to go 1-1. I was like, oh,
a little bit of momentum. Yeah.
And then the second Everton goal, which obviously was an own goal, was it's a kick in the teeth, isn't it?
A little bit. But yeah, I mean, as I said, that result meant that Brighton still were above Everton in the league, but ahead of them on goal difference. But we had, obviously, Man United, Spurs rehearsal before the FA Cup final, the big FA Cup final that's taking place in a couple of weeks. And actually, Man United went 1-0 up, but Tottenham took the lead within 10 minutes, and they obviously scored two within 2 minutes. It was Beth England and Jess Naz with the goals.
I just love seeing Beth score.
It took until the 92nd minute for Maëlle Tissier to obviously equalise. I mean, off the back of her birthday week, off the back of signing a big contract. I think she signed a 4-year contract, if I'm right. Could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But what did you make of that game? I mean, Man United is still not secured fourth place. Mm. Now, we know they're in an FA Cup. Fantastic. You know, back-to-back FA Cup finals, really good and a good chance of winning. Obviously, that as I mentioned, there was a dress rehearsal of the cup final.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
But for most of the game, Tottenham seemed to be controlling it.
I would just like to say that I predicted it was going to be a draw, and it was. So
where did you put that?
Well done, me. On the Sport S. Me and
why did you do it on mine?
Well, I think I did.
Did you?
I think I did. Maybe. Right. But I got that right, so I'm just going to give myself my flowers. Jess Naz, she's got two in two now. She obviously scored in the Leicester game as well, didn't she? That's exciting, though. For me, seeing...
No, it's exciting that you're drawing the game in terms of, like, we know the cup final.
For the FA Cup is going to be a good game.
It's going to be a good game. But I'm on about in terms of, like, Man United. We know they can't finish in the top three because Manchester City, Chelsea and Arsenal, after the weekend, have certified their Champions League spot for next season. But that fourth spot for me is massive for Man United.
Yeah, and if Liverpool get that, would that be their highest finish?
They're now joint on points, but they play each other. They still got to play each other, Man United, Liverpool.
Yeah, that'd be a big game.
So it's a big game, but yeah. Would United fans be happy about, you know, getting a point from the game after being 2-1 down for a long period? Or do you think United fans are still going to be annoyed that they haven't taken all three at home against Tottenham? What do you think the fans will be feeling right now?
Naturally, they will always want 3 points. Mm. Every fan always wants their team to get the 3 points. But considering they were 2-1 down, they'd be relieved that in the dying minutes, they clawed it back and got a point.
Yeah. So that was a draw. And then obviously we had Liverpool played on Saturday away at Bristol. Now they got a narrow 1-0 win, but obviously put them, as I said to you, on joint level points with Manchester United, only being behind them on goal difference. Mm. What did you make of that point? I mean, it was an unbelievable goal from the edge of the box. Who was it that scored? I don't know how you say her name. Holbinger? Is that how you say it? Holbinger?
My
Norwegian isn't that great, but she scored the goal for me. I mean, it was a really good finish. And that was the only goal of the game, and that came in the 13th minute. So, you know what I've liked about Bristol this year? They've given it a real go. You know, they look like they're all, if we're honest, look, West Ham on 13 points, they're on 6. There's 3 games remaining. Mm. Mathematically, there's still a chance for them to stay up in the league. But I think they're pretty much down and out. But what I've liked about them is that against the teams that are there, they're around them, they've given it a real good, yeah, good go. And I think, you know, certainly the coach, I think she's been unbelievable with the group of players she's got, and, you know, with a little bit more investment, who knows, you know, where they could have been this year.
But still shows the gap though, doesn't it?
Oh, the gap's massive.
Yeah, it still
does. Championship teams that come up and WSL teams that are kind of there already.
It's the reality of, it is the reality of women's football. I have this conversation quite a lot. Like, so many people will say to me, oh, women's football's on the up. It's growing so much. It's this, it's that. There's so much more money in it. And all these great things, which there is a lot of good things happening. Don't get me wrong. It is on the up. We're getting more record fan attendance. Bristol were smashing it with their attendances.
Yeah, they're doing really well.
Like, big up Bristol on that, all jokes aside. But yeah, like, something like this, it does show that there is still gaps and there's still a lot of work to be done.
100%.
And don't get me wrong, the women's game is growing, women's sport's growing, and I absolutely love to see it. But I'm also so aware of where there are big gaps. And because certain teams are flying and doing really well, it doesn't mean that every single team is in that boat.
No, I agree. But it's well said.
That game is a 1-0 win in the 13th minute. Bristol City had so much time to get it back.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. I think that, like, you know what? I think that, as I said, I think they're well coached. I think they're a well drilled team. It's just unfortunate that they don't have the same backing that, you know, teams above them do to enable them to stay within the WSL. But the final game of the weekend was last night at the Emirates. Now, we've got to mention Arsenal and what they've done, because we were looking at the stats and it says Arsenal's final game at the Emirates was 42,000 plus in attendance, which means their average attendance at the Emirates this season were 52,000.
It's incredible what Arsenal
are doing. So that's six WSL games they've had. And I think it's over 300,000 have been out to the Emirates this season. Do you think, saying that, do you think then next season, so they've had six games, they've had over 300,000 fans attend the game, average fan attendance was 52. Do you think they could play more games there and start to build it into more of a home stadium for them? A joint home stadium with the men?
I think them going up against Leicester and getting 42,000 yesterday, you would argue it's, a few people said it to me, that you would argue it's not the blockbuster game that everyone would expect.
Sure.
But to still get 42,000 people inside is
incredible, right?
Yeah, other teams could only dream of that. Yeah. Arsenal are
Chelsea are playing Barcelona in the Champions League
25,000 at the moment.
And they've only sold 25,000. So that just shows the fan base of Arsenal. I mean, their fan base over the years have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
And obviously their marketing team are doing a fantastic job, certainly around the Emirates when they go there. Kings Meadow's always sold out, or 2,000 plus, however many it holds. Every game minimum they have that. So it always looks packed.
Kings Meadow,
Meadow Park, sorry. Always packed.
Yeah.
So they're doing an unbelievable job, but for me, six games, and as I said, the average attendance, I'd like to see them play there more next season if they can, you know, keep kind of these figures up.
They really are showing that one club mentality, aren't they? And I don't see why Arsenal behind the scenes wouldn't push for it or wouldn't push for more games. Yeah. Like, I know you obviously get, like, when they get to the later stages, like the Champions League games will be there, et cetera.
I mean, they're in Champions League. If they can get themselves into the group stages next year, I mean, and have the games at the Emirates.
I remember going
to a game at the Emirates. The crowd were unbelievable. So their fan base, look, I'm a Chelsea fan, and I know you lot are going to be like, Arsenal fan base, I don't care. Although, even when I played, even when the women's game wasn't where it was, Arsenal have always had a fan base, men and women.
Yeah.
That has always been so good. And they're certainly on social media. We hear you. Don't worry.
Pharisees you.
Yeah, I see you. I hear you. I'm not liked. But Beth Mead gets
because you said the Conti Cup wasn't an important cup. The mighty Conti Cup.
When you have grown up with Arsenal being such a dominant team, right, over the years, you ask any Arsenal player, women's player I'm talking, over the years to say, are you satisfied with just winning a Conti Cup, right, or two Conti Cups in the last 5 years, they will tell you no, right, because we expect more. There's standards at Arsenal. Arsenal have always been the leading team in the women's game. Now, they've just fallen behind a little bit because only winning the Conti Cup, for me, for somebody that looked up to this Arsenal women's team for many a years, the standards, it's not enough for me, in my opinion, but that's my opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, Beth Mead gets two goals. She loves the Emirates, right? She loves playing at the Emirates Stadium. Two goals for Beth Mead.
See the passion when she scores as well. She's like, yeah,
I like
come
that third,
on.
A little dink. But yeah, and then obviously Russo gets on the score sheet there to beat Leicester 3-0.
Russo likes a goal at the Emirates as well. She did for United. She did for Arsenal.
But I mean, it was two positives in that game. Obviously, we've seen the return of Vivian Miedema. Massive positive.
Yeah, that was really good to see.
But my favourite player. So yeah, happy to see her back on the pitch. And then obviously, and that was after a knee, a little minor knee operation that she had. And then Frieda Marnham returned into the pitch, obviously, again, unbelievable, 2 weeks after collapsing.
That was really good to see. She got such a good reception.
Another fantastic moment. So nice to see.
And that's positive as well, because there was so much worry around it, wasn't there? So for her to come back and be playing and get on the pitch, like, I think it puts a lot of people's minds at rest, whether that's people at the club, her family, her friends, her teammates, the fans. So to see her coming back is like a big like
exhale. That was good, and towards the end of the season. So that pretty much rounds up WSL. But a little bit of news that happened in the week, we've seen Anne Catherine Berger assigned for Gotham FC.
I did not see that happening.
I did not see that happening either. For an undisclosed fee, it's a 1 year deal with an option to extend to 2025. But it was rumoured that Anne Catherine Berger was actually training with the Chelsea Boys Academy during the last few weeks. Whether this is true, it says rumoured. So I'm just reading what I've been put on here. But what's your thoughts on the move? Because for me, she's an unbelievable keeper. So she's a goalkeeper and a player that I've wanted to see play.
Yeah.
She's obviously found her way out of the team at Chelsea for whatever reason. But what do you think about her move? Look, she played for Chelsea between 2019 and 2024. 114 appearances, 60 clean sheets, by the way. 4 WSL titles, 3 FA Cup winners, 2 League Cup winners, and runner-up in the Women's Champions League. And there's obviously more accolades in terms of individual. But, I mean, she's been a pivotal part of this Chelsea success, certainly over Emma Hayes' reign in charge. So what do you make of that move?
Honestly, when I saw it, I was in the car and I was like...
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
AKB's gone to Gotham. No, it was AKB's left Chelsea.
Yeah.
And then, because I don't think Chelsea put that she'd gone to Gotham. Then I seen another post... And it was like, to Gotham. So I was like, she's left Chelsea. And I was like, she's signed to Gotham. Mm-hmm. Obviously, going to America, that's literally over the pond. The thing about Anne as well, she is such a love. I know I say this a lot, but she's such a lovely human. Like, she's so kind. Whenever she sees me, she always says hello, always makes time. So respectful. I know so many people that have got time for her. You saw the posts about... from all the girls when she was leaving, what a credit she is as a human.
She's an unbelievable goalkeeper. I know. I want to see her play, so I'm happy that she's got a move that hopefully she can get some.
And she was on the
back on the grass.
She was on the she was in the squad, not in the squad. She was on the team sheet for the Gotham game as well already. So like, it's a really quick turnover.
Yeah, crazy. But do you think we'll see more players leaving Chelsea in the summer? Just a quick yes or no.
They're doing. Well, I mean,
with Emma Hayes leaving, new manager coming in. Players out of contract. Can we see more leaving in the summer?
I don't see people wanting to actively leave Chelsea Football Club, if I'm honest.
We will see. The summer will let us know.
But new manager means... That's what I mean. How people work. Mm-hmm. Be really, really interesting to see.
Yeah, so that pretty much sums up the week of WSL. But we have match day 20. There's only 3 remaining fixtures, actually. 4 for Chelsea, but every other team. So we've got 3 remaining fixtures. So let's do a little prediction. We haven't done this in a while. Obviously, Betfair, you know, Bet365, whatever, Paddy Power, whoever you want. If you want to sponsor us, we're here. But let's go. Everton at home to Arsenal.
Arsenal win,
yeah. Tottenham at home to Brighton.
A Tottenham win.
Aston Villa at home to West Ham. After West Ham's performance at the weekend, I'm going with Aston Villa.
I might throw out a draw, you know.
Go on, then, you got a draw. Leicester against Manchester United. Ooh, Leicester at home to Man United. Man United win.
Yeah, I'd give Man United a win. Maybe like a 2-0 win.
2-0. And then we've got Bristol City against Manchester City. Manchester City win, I think. And then obviously Chelsea are in the second leg of the Champions League final at the weekend against Barca. Let's hope for a Chelsea victory. But then we're going to go to midweek because they play Liverpool away midweek after that. How do you see that going?
Travelling away to Liverpool, but I do think Chelsea would get the win.
Okay, I'm hopeful for a Chelsea win, but I know that Liverpool can put pressure on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's our predictions. Choose mine or Nancy's... accumulator and put your 50p or pound on that.
Never ever back me,
guys.
We
have a few fans' questions. It's really hard trying to pick really good questions because we kind of get similar questions. We have a lot of Arsenal fans saying, Farah, we won the Conti Cup. It's big cup. Okay, cool. I'm fine. We have Man United fans saying, oh, just because we got to an FA Cup final doesn't mean we're asking it. Okay, thanks. I am aware. but we do want some questions that would be really helpful. But some of the picks out of the questions that we got in, if you could change one thing in a WSL, what would it be and why?
Mine would be more space between the games. As a neutral, I just love going to women's football matches. So I'd like
you
to
mean timings of kickoffs?
Yeah, I'd love to be able to try and get to as many games as possible. But that's probably just a bit of a selfish one, if I'm being honest. But I just love watching women's football. So the more games I can get to, the better. Like, I love a double game day. Did it the other week.
What thing would I change about the
double game? That's a selfish one.
I'm trying to think. What would I change?
I've got something I'd change about the FA player.
No, but there's you know what? The funny thing is that, you know, sorry, I will ask you about that. But, you know, like, there's not something I would change. But, you know, like, you get some people saying in, there's a lot of people that say, do we think we should have relegation or not? Right. So some people don't want a relegation and try and keep it more competitive. There's been a lot of people say, when do we start to salary cap it to make it more competitive? A bit like in America, it's kind of like, you know, they have that draft pick and all that. I'm not into all of that because I like relegation. You know what? I wouldn't mind. But this is probably more for the championship. I wouldn't mind a playoff. I wouldn't mind two going down from WSL 1 and a playoff in the championship to, so obviously number one automatically come through and then the next going to a playoff, because I quite like that.
That's quite a good one to
be
fair.
But also, you know what I think? You know what I find at stadiums? And I know because we're trying to grow the fan base, but I wouldn't mind, do they at every stadium, I don't know, because I don't seem to see it. Do they section out away fans from home fans?
Yeah.
Oh, they do?
They do.
Oh, so there's no West Ham fans there yesterday then. I'm only joking.
I feel like some teams have bigger fan bases who are louder and or not louder, there's more of them, so they're louder in presence.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'll change.
Can I go back to my FA that,
but go on,
player
FA,
one?
What are you gonna say?
It really annoys me that you can't just like stay logged in and you have to log in every single time you go into the FA player. Yeah, I have to log in and put my email and password in every single time. So for the FA player, I'd change that. It just allows you to stay logged in.
Such an effort to do, right?
It is such an effort, because when you're quickly trying to get the game on, it's like, oh no, you got to log in.
I hear you. I just don't go on it that often. But the other question, this is an interesting one. Do you see Hannah Hampton becoming England's number one?
Her agent is going to be on my case after I answer that. He still messages me every day. Yeah, of course. She's in the England setup. Yeah. You can see how much trust.
Do you think you see her being England's number one if we qualify for the Euros next summer? Ahead of Mary Earps?
You've spun the question now. That's a difficult one.
Yeah, because I think between now and then, they're in qualifiers. So what makes you number one? What makes you number one is that, you know, you go to tournament and you start.
I see this long term. I saw this as long-term. I can see her becoming...
Well, and do you see that long-term because you think Mary's getting older and she's still young? Long-term is in how? Because for me, at the minute, obviously, Mary's still number one.
Yeah, I think...
There's no reason for her not to be.
I think it's, as you say, when players... I don't think Mary's going to fade out straight away. Like, she's a phenomenal... Mary is a phenomenal goalkeeper.
Saw her performance against Chelsea in the semi-final, so...
But I do think naturally... That's how it's going. And I think...
So I'm asking the question, is she going to be number one in the summer next year in the Euros if we qualify?
I don't...
Just yes or no?
Think so. Yeah. I think Mary will... I love you. So Nancy, just say yes or no.
Hannah's agent, get onto her.
Oh my days. No, I see her becoming agent. England number one though. Like, I do, because the setup is there. She's gone from Aston Villa to Chelsea. In 8 years' time.
I'm just joking, but Mary's still young.
Yeah.
For a goalkeeper.
But yeah, like, she will become England's number one. Her being at Chelsea, moving from Aston Villa to Chelsea, like, the setup's there, the movement is there. Like, I think that was always happening, her going to Chelsea. So her being there, her being in that environment, that's what, she's in the England setup already. She's had minutes, she's played for them. That's the next step, isn't it? That's what you build up your keepers for, yeah.
Cool. So that doesn't really answer your question, but it does. But anyway, thank you for your questions. Thank you for listening. That is us over and out for BBB for this week. Thank you.
Thank you.